Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville. The Drive is brought to you by Fitness Market, Louisville's premier location for fitness equipment and in-home saunas. Online at thefitnessmarket.com. Now here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr. We've got a full one here today. Jeff, sometimes you make the show and you pick the show, and then sometimes the show just picks you.
Yes, it does.
And there are, you know, we used to talk about this. He's been gone 7 years now, but we used to talk about this when Rick was here to people in other media markets that you would say, look, whatever you think about him, he's a dream for us. Mm-hmm. Because you never, ever have to work for having things to talk about. Mm-hmm. And look, right now, this time of the calendar, it's pretty difficult for a coach to really give you much to talk about, mm-hmm. but not for him. And it really never changes. Mm-hmm. And this was just kind of a nice reminder today that he really is an inexhaustible fountain of content, sometimes great,
yes,
sometimes the worst.
Mm-hmm.
But given the conversations that we had yesterday.
There it is.
Right? Okay,
yes.
So you...
Yes.
Given that we talked 45 minutes overall about just sort of, you know, the former players and his legacy, mm-hmm. and all that sort of thing, for him to follow that with what can only be described as a command performance. Here's a texter from yesterday.
There it is.
Okay, from yesterday, who was basically like, look, I think we'll always love him, blah, blah, blah. Hey, Mark, remember like yesterday when I said Rick will be celebrated when he comes back? Well, that was kind of short-lived. I'm still grateful for the good times, but I still think we need to hang the damn banners, but Rick can go bleep himself now.
There it is.
Not fun.
Not at all. Oh, man. Like you said, how quickly things can change in 24 hours. Like, how quickly we talked about this, and I said, yeah, they invite him, and years down the line, he'd come, and all this. And then we were showing the contrast in the fan base, and we talk about unifiers. We said certain things recently unify. I think the comments today on KSR is unifying a fan base. I do. I think against one person, or, you know, once again, you can't take away the memories or the nostalgia or the things you felt when you saw those guys play during that time. We all witnessed it. We all lived it. But then you get reminders of how people really feel. Like when they're away, when they have time to reflect, they tell you how they feel, and always believe them. Always believe them. There's no reason not to, especially when everything is removed. And what took place on KSR today, it was a harsh reality for a lot of Louisville fans.
Yeah, I don't think we really get to do a lot of debating anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was sort of theoretical yesterday when we mm-hmm. were having that discussion, and we'll get to that. But what an interesting contrast in what we heard today between that – with Rick going on the KSR, which is it's by itself is
a statement.
Incredible.
Yeah, a statement.
Right? Yeah, given everything that transpired between those two. And then having Pat Kelsey hold this summer press conference now that the guys are all here. And the non-conference schedule is just about done, but you know, a chance to talk about what they've done so far and the Bahamas trip. And what? If I asked you to just give me one word that you would use to describe this, that press conference from him today, which we'll get into, and I know that Nick's chopping it up here in a little bit, but like, what's the word that hits you after listening to him today, and these players too, but him in particular.
Man, the one word is probably confidence. Like, man, they exude a lot of confidence. I guess it's more than one word, because I have to say, man, this is fun. Like, for me, it's fun. Let me use that word, fun.
Fun? You're going to go fun?
I'm going with fun because the way that the player spoke to Bat Pat and the way that he spoke about them, and then whether it was talking basketball, talking off the court stuff, Bahamas trips, both of them, what he expects, how he's described his team so far, how there's only so much he can take from having a team for X amount of time at the end of June. Like, it's just all fun. Like, and then you see immediately after the press conference, because we didn't ask him enough about the TBT, he puts out a video about TBT. And then also directly after the press conference, Joe Tipton tags you in a tweet that says a 5-star is going to visit here. Like, all of these things, it's like, man, this is fun. Like, actually getting cool, fun stuff, and not salacious scandal stuff. Like, it's actually like basketball fun things that are going on. Is like, yes, this is what we needed. Like, real basketball talk, real roster talk, real season talk, and then also all the other stuff like recruiting visits and different things being set up and all the cool things that they have coming down the pipeline there at U of L. So this is fun.
Yeah, the word I would use, and I would link it to conversations I think that Dave and I used to have a lot. Mm-hmm. I know we used to talk about when evaluating Kenny, mm-hmm. and all that, that what you wanted to see was command, mm-hmm. and that you never, obviously we never did, but you know, to watch them, either watch them talk, you know, watch them coach the team, watch the team play, whatever it is, we never ever had the feeling that like he has command of this assignment.
Yes.
And all the little details that go into it, mm-hmm. Much less like the overall big picture. And what I felt like when we left the room with Pat Kelsey today was like, this was a guy who, while recognizing it's different, like this is a lot bigger, like he was sort of wide-eyed when he first walked in how many people were there.
Oh, yeah.
And look, hey, welcome to Louisville.
Yeah. But
like, this was a guy that has command over this. Mm-hmm. The level of detail, the amount of thought that he can tell you about that has gone into every little thing, and the fact that he can tell you about all of that and will, and it makes sense. And you know, he thanks everyone for showing up, and when he's leaving, thanks everybody for staying. Like, you know, sees this group of media people, and it's not like, oh God, but more like, all right,
yeah,
this is exciting. Like, all the right attitudes, has the confidence to sort of just talk, answer a lot of really in-depth questions, about the basketball team and what they're doing and what all this sort of thing, just to me left me feeling like this is a guy that's in command and has command.
Yes, and that is, like you said, because it's such a – like, that's what how it's supposed to be. Like, in all honesty, that's how it's supposed to be when you get paid like you do and when you're at this level. But because that had been missing for a little bit, it's good to see that it's back. It's good to know, like, hey, I know the other way didn't work, and so I still don't know if this is going to work, but at least I know it's off to the right start. Like, at least I know you actually have a chance of working, because if you were anything like the previous, I know it wasn't going to work. Like, I know that now. Like, I know if you're not able to really go into depth and really go into detail about your defensive strategy, about your offensive strategy, about, you know, he even talked about, like, the time periods of implementation with the players. Like, hey, we have a large offensive playbook. We want a lot. We demand a lot from our players, but we break it up into pieces. During this time period, they learn this piece. During this time period, they learn this piece. And then during, you know, and then from now until the first Bahamas trips, they'll learn this. And then from there to the first game, they'll learn. And it's like, oh yeah, that's that command you're talking about. And it's like, once again, I still don't know if it's worth. I believe it will. You give me all the confidence in the world to think that it will, but I at least know you have the foundation laid. And when he spoke about it, the three players came in after him and essentially did the exact same thing. Like, they're like, hey, we're still learning, but we know what to do. Like, we're headed in the right direction. And this is different than any, like, those got Javon Hadley, Chucky Hepburn, and been at a bunch of different places. It was like, this is different than any place, like, the way you guys care about basketball. That was the one thing Hadley, like, he lit up when he said, he's like, I've been to Colorado and other places, but this place in basketball, it's a little different. It's very different than where I just came from.
Yeah.
And that was cool to hear that from people outside of just us.
The only negative that happened today at all was Chucky Hepburn saying that he knew a little bit about Louisville because of Akoya Gow.
Yeah, oh yeah, I saw you.
And then he it was an innocent comment from him that he's talking about getting his hair cut.
Yeah,
he goes, said, not by Akoya Gow. Yeah. He's like, he's got a receding hairline. I was like, hey, I don't need that from you.
Yeah, Chucky was making sure. He's like, yeah, I knew
a lot of there were a lot of those in that room. Yeah, when he said that, for the record.
And it was funny because Mark, just to let you guys know, Mark like literally said something or made a reaction when he's like, oh, hold on. It's a few of us in here. But even that was like, oh, that's a nugget. Like, oh, we didn't know that. Akoya Gow's from Omaha, Nebraska. Chucky had a buddy from Nebraska, or Chucky maybe from Nebraska, has a buddy that was friends with Akoy. So when he chose to come here, Akoy's showing him around the city. And, you know, that's what the barber commented. Like, he taught him where the barber was. And Akoy don't cut my hair, but he showed me where to get my hair cut. And so, like, all of those things, man, getting to know the guys was really cool. Hearing Coach Kelsey really, like I said, dive into, you know, a couple of times it was myself and someone else asking about the players and who stood out and so far. And he's like, look, man, I can't tell you that in June.
Okay, so we'll eventually have some clips for you. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting to me the way he was trying to pump the brakes for everybody.
Yeah.
And this just all goes back to the idea of having command. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a guy who's done this enough to know where we shouldn't be mm-hmm. on June 27th.
Yes.
Right? Like, we are not – no one, this team, no individual player ought to be at the place where you're asking questions about roles mm-hmm. and all that sort of thing. We just shouldn't be there yet. So don't freak out that we're not. And there are a million answers from him, all kind of along those lines. Like, you just – look, he gives you confidence. Like, we've thought about this. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we've done – a lot of work on this. We know we've done this before. We're experienced at this. We have a plan. It's working out just fine, but we're not there yet. We're doing these baby steps, but we're making them, and we know where they fit into the parts of the whole. And if we never got those feelings previously.
No, and just to stay on that track, one thing that he said during the presser was that, because I think Tim Sullivan had asked him about, is some of this overwhelming? Right, you're coming from Charleston, you're coming from Winthrop. Like, I mean, you've been on The Drive multiple times. You've been on the V Show. You've done the car wash for all the TV stations. Like, you're doing this.
Are you stretched too thin?
Yes.
That's what he asked.
The words was, yeah. Are you stretched too thin? And the thing that I really, really liked that he said was, man, I have a great team. He's like, you have to have a smart team, a smart room around you. It's like, I listen to those guys. Like, they tell me, hey, do this, don't do that, do that. He's like, if I listen to them, I'm all right. And if you've noticed, no bad PR has come out. That's not to say he's a perfect person, but nothing bad on the Kelsey thing. I'm like, I don't know about that, coach. You probably shouldn't have done it. It's because he is trusting the room. And he pointed out some of the people in that room that's helped him out. And he's trusting that room. And that allows you, once again, to have that command because you know, like, I can handle the basketball stuff. Like, I know what to do when it comes to being a basketball coach. But being a basketball coach at Louisville, I don't know. Like, that's a difference. Like, it's a big difference when I come to a press conference in June and there's more people, media members in there than that came to my post-game pressers at Charleston.
Yeah.
Like, I need to know how to work that. You know, like, I need to know what's coming for me in that room. And he's trusting the guys in his room that have been guys and gals that have been there, that's been at Louisville for years. It's like, okay, these are the people. I'm going to brief you on the people. Because even the cool thing that Rocco said, like, say your name so he knows who you are, because I'm pretty sure they prepped him. It's like, hey, this guy is probably going to ask you these type of questions. This person is going to this, you know, and so that's why it's like, okay. And all of that is just like, wow, like that's really awesome to see. They've kind of went over and made sure he's prepared for pretty much everything.
Yeah, it's consistent with you can't help but I think draw some confidence from the fact that, like, at the opening press conference, he said something similar that basically, like, look, guys, I'm going to learn who all y'all are, you know, and I'm going to learn about the what's required of a coach in terms of being a fundraiser and mm-hmm. a glad hander, and Louisville basketball's coach is just has to be out there.
Yes.
You know, and that sort of thing. And, you know, Rick wasn't accessible, but he was charming to the right people when he needed to be, friends of the Ville program and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And Pat's obviously aware of that sort of thing. But, like, the basketball's going to be fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he said at the press conference, like, well, the one we're going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
And this is the same thing. Was like, oh, guys, don't worry about the basketball. I'm just talking about figuring out who the boosters are. And, you know, like, well, the basketball's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Like, you can just assume that. And we got that.
And it was awesome to once again hear that backed up by the players.
Sure.
Like, Javon Hadley coming in saying, like, man, we have a good team. Like, man, he's like, our team, whew, like, I like our team. We're still learning stuff. Now, we're not where we need to be.
Right.
But just off pure talent, off the roster construction, off players, we're going to have a really good team. And in particularly, he spoke about we're going to have a really good defense. And that's what I like to hear.
I don't know that anyone has expected that.
I mean, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Like he said, though, our defense is going to be good. And I'm like, oh, Javon Hadley was on a really good Colorado team last year. Like, so a guy, I mean, Cody Williams was on that Colorado. They had two first-round picks last year.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how good this team can be. No, that's not just they're going to have two first-round picks, but just team basketball. Like, it's like, man, we're going to have a good team. And that was really good to hear. I was happy about that.
We got a lot to get into from both he and the players today. I know we're getting a lot of texts like this. Rick is a narcissist prick, so long to the New York City Weasel. Right? A lot of those. We are intentionally not leading with Rick.
No,
because after today, you don't deserve it.
No.
But we are going to.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to roll around in it. Like, don't get me wrong here. We're just intentionally sort of starting off with the guys that are here now because they want to be. And I'll be damned if that wasn't as encouraging as I could possibly imagine. Here's this is dorky, but it lands right with me. We'll play the clip for you. You know, he was just sort of saying this in passing, but talking about the guys having to learn the language that, you know, coaches call the same thing different things from place to place or what have you. And he said something like, we as a staff met and pass around ideas for what to call everything so that complicated ideas can be communicated real quick, real clearly, and we can build on it and it makes sense so that this is all orderly and it all is rational and it's easy for the guys to memorize and sort of become second nature. And there's just, given the total disarray that the team was in the last couple of years, the idea of them sitting down and like strategically thinking about what to call everything so that you can build on it one little building block at a time so that it makes sense. You know, that requires awareness of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. That requires awareness of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all like it's just, this is the kind of maniacal, meticulous stuff that even, look, we like Rick the coach. Like, this is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What the very best coaches, they don't leave anything to the imagination. They don't leave anything to chance. They are control freaks. They are obsessive about every little detail. And we just got like a whole 40-minute presentation on, yeah, I'm just like that.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have been more welcome to hear that sort of thing.
I mean, I think what did he say? The acronym he used, talking about baseball, like talking baseball, talking basketball.
Oh, the GBT?
GBT. Like, that's what it like, hey, I love GBT, just talking basketball and making sure that everybody gets it. And to hear something like that, I mean, think about it. Him and his staff have been together for the better part of a decade, and they're still very collaborative. Like, hey, how do we make sure this makes the most sense to me, to you, and to them, meaning the players? Like, that's all. I mean, like you said, that's all. It's very minor, very minute, but it matters. Because as have quickly found out, if you get away from the minute details in any circumstance, whether it's a control freak that let the reins loose or someone that never had the reins tight at all, it can cost you big time. Even going back to Rick, when you're not maniacal and know what's going on, it can cost you. If you're Kenny, if you're not maniacal and know what's going on, you could be the worst teams in Louisville history. Like, all of that stuff matters. Like, and we've experienced it on both ends. And so, therefore, like, hearing that is great because it's like, I know I feel more comfortable trusting that you're going to have this going in the right direction because you feel about this place the same way that I do. and that you care about every single small particular detail. Like, nothing is supposed to catch you off guard.
Yeah.
Like, nothing's going to catch you off guard.
Nothing should ever occur to us that didn't occur to you already.
Yes. And if it does, you already have a plan in place. Yeah. Like, that's what you practice all of these things for, because situations do happen. Like, it happens in every circumstance of life. And there's something that you don't expect that happens. But if you have a plan and a structure in place, you're able to deal and adjust to it accordingly. And that was good to hear.
Yeah. And there's also, though, I think there is a little bit of humility there. Mm-hmm. In saying, like, we need to think about this. Is it being willing to ask yourself, being willing to, like, is this the best idea? Not, you know, there's fake confidence and then there's actual confidence. And fake confidence is yeah, we got this figured out, and just not wanting to even listen to the idea that, hey, maybe what we're doing isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we killed Kenny for that part, too. Like, never any kind of self-reflection here on the validity of anything we're doing, even though the results are disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a guy that's probably got all the reason in the world to never be all that self-reflective.
Yeah.
Hey, things are working.
Yeah.
But they do. Because we got to make sure things are as good as they can possibly be. And I think this is how you get to where they are. This is how you get to be as good as his teams have typically been. And Lord, it's going to be a sight for sore eyes here.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's really cool when you think about it in that manner. Because he even talked about, like, some of his previous teams and the struggles that they had. He's like, man, we stunk last year at the beginning of the year. But we chipped away. We kept consistency is what he kept saying. We stay consistent in what we do. Whether it's our practice habits, our coaching habits, everything is consistent. And if you're consistent long enough, you're going to see the results that you expect, that you desire, if you're doing what you're supposed to do. And to hear something like that, like consistency, not, you know, I told them what to do and they didn't do it. Like, no, it's none of that. It's consistency. Continue to work on the things that we tell you to work on. Speaking about, like, talking to the players and they're telling you about individual drills that they do and things that they work on and their shooting percentages and all this stuff that they go over and the way that Coach Kelsey acts with them, the consistency of all that stuff, man. It was really, really just great to hear and just to listen and take it in. And it's one thing to take it in from the coach. And it's another thing that when he leaves the room, three players, two of them that never played for him before, can echo the same thing.
Oh, yeah, like the message is already – they're already it's the becoming
same.
Disciples.
Yes, it's the same. Yeah. It's like – but it's because of the consistency. I can't lie about something that we're really doing.
Yeah.
Like, if we're doing something every single day and we're going over these things and he's acting this way every single day, I can't even lie and act like I don't know what's going on. Like, I know because we do it every single day. It's consistent, and that is – I mean, all of that was just nice, man. It was just really, really nice to kind of, like, witness that and watch that go through for the better part of an hour today.
Yeah, because this was the first time that they've sat down, and he sat down in a press conference with the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not theoretical, but, like, mm-hmm. the staff is here. The team is here. And what I thought was funny is, you know, I've listened to Luke for 7 years now,
mm-hmm.
talk about Peyton Siva. And, like, the thing about Peyton Siva is he's the exact same guy every single day, every practice, every drill, every everything. Mm-hmm. He is that guy. And that's what made him the best teammate he's ever had. That's what made him beloved by everybody. It's what made him successful. And then Rain Smith today, who's already played three seasons for him and is mm-hmm. going to play a fourth for Pat Kelsey, said the exact same thing about Pat Kelsey today,
mm-hmm.
that every single practice I've ever gone to, everything we've ever done, he's the most energetic person out there,
man.
Every day, all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, putting those two together, it's like, can this season please get here already?
I know, man. Like, that actually shocked me to hear him say that, kind of. And the reason why I say that is because some of the – you know, I do the roundtable sometimes, and it's like, man, that stuff's going to wear off. Like, all that Pat Kelsey stuff is going to wear off.
Sure it will.
And that's – when Rain said that, it was like, oh, no, it's not.
And he didn't roll his eyes either.
No.
He's just like this all the time.
No. It was like, no, telling the guys, like, just get used to it. Like, at some days, you're not going to have it. But guess what? Every day that guy's going to have it.
We
said for 3 years straight, I've seen this guy act this way. And he knows no other way. And so just get used to it, guys. Like, it's never going away. And that was like, Okay, that's pretty cool.
Strebel called him corny yesterday, and then I found the clip of Pope singing Hamilton, and then his conversation stopped. Because not going to lie, like some of the things that Pat Kelsey does is a little like off wall, but nothing is compared to Mark Pope. And the big thing about Strebel and Pat Kelsey is the shoe thing, which I'm like, yeah, but there's a message behind it. And he's like, no, he's a weird guy that likes to take off shoes. And I'm like, no.
Oh, look.
Saying that, don't take your advice from Strebel.
Look, it's corny because it's Pat Kelsey, not... if Mark Pope did this, he'd be like, this is the kind of everyman stuff we've been waiting for around here. Some crap like that. Texture did want to know, did he bring cookies to the press conference? No, because we're adults.
No coach has ever done that before, though.
Oh, I know. God, picking people up at the airport and bringing his cookies. Oh, my goodness. Come on, man, with this stuff.
A coach flying in coach?
Yeah, I don't need to see my.
We talked about that. I'm not a big fan.
I'm good.
Also, a texter wanted to know, why did I say that Rain Smith should talk at every press conference? Because he has a tremendous Australian accent. That's why. Like saying that you could get.
It's like
me.
Natural. It's like natural. Oh, yeah, not like
he's not putting on. Yeah, like, he's the crocodile, right?
Yeah.
And like, but I forgot. And so when he started talking, I was like, oh, this is much more fun. It just is. Like, that accent, the Irish accent, the Australian accent, like, and like all of those, it's just more fun to hear the same thing than normal English when they speak with that accent. So I think you should be the team spokesman.
It is funny, too, because you see people doing the accent, like, for movies, and then, like, you can tell, like, when it's just natural. Yeah. Like, oh, this is how this guy speaks. Yeah. Like, this is just because he is an Australian, he speaks this way. And it sounds good. Like you said, it sounds good. Like it doesn't sound.
It makes the same thing sound better.
It does.
Like if it's like Javon cursive. Hadley said,
it's like cursive. Like he speaks in cursive. Yeah. You know,
that's right. You know, one thing I was thinking, he talked about guys, the new guy, like the guys who've not played for Pat before, like learning about the shoe drill. And for those of you who don't know, Pat Kelsey is a freak about shoes coming off.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot stand it. If it comes off, he's going to grab it, chuck it as far as he can, and you got to go get it. And it's an object lesson in attention to detail. That's the whole point. And I've wondered if he and James Scott and Kobe Rogers, like, do you try to warn the guys or do you let them step in the trap themselves, knowing how funny that will be if they do it? I think I'd let them learn themselves.
The thing is you probably warn them, but, like, after
one
some
–
yeah, you just do it the once. And like, cause that's not something we're going to keep going over a whole bunch of times. I'm going to tell you the one time, like, look, guys, tighten – I almost said cleats up. Tighten your shoes up. And get ready. Coaches don't like shoes coming off. But you just say it. And so after one practice, two practice, a week, 2 weeks, like, you know, they're basketball players and they've been playing for a long time. So they're creatures of habit doing their shoes however they do it. And then the shoe comes off. And then you find out really quickly, like, oh, like this is a real thing. Like, he gets pissed when the shoes come off. I think another thing, too, just to the point of him, his energy and stuff never going away, his players even call him quirky. Like Rain said, you know, I had to tell the guys, like, you know, coach is quirky. That was the word he used. It's like, he's quirky. They asked him, like, what would he do that's quirky? It's like, even the way he runs practices sometimes, or drills, it's like, especially for guys that have been at other schools and played for other coaches at the collegiate level, like, it may seem off a little bit, but trust me, it works. Like, trust me, coach knows what he's talking about. Like, I can vouch for it. I've played under him for years, and we've won a lot of games. It works. Just trust in it. You'll be okay.
All right, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll open up the phones. And I got something for that Pastor Rick Pitino. So we'll talk about that on the other side here as well. On the Drive on a Thunderbolt.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
listening to The Drive, presented by Fitness Market, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr. The phone lines are open. What happened there? There we go. Yeah, there we phone go. Lines are open. 8150-93.9 is Mike Gord. Here on the microphone. We're good now.
Yeah, we're good.
8150-939. That's the number if you'd like to get in here. 3831-939 for the UPS jobs text line. If you want to hit us up that way, you most certainly can as well. Before we got to hear from Pat Kelsey, Jeff, the thing dominating Louisville Twitter today. And again, I just can't help but laugh about the proximity of that to us having this Rick Pitino TBT legacy discussion question thing.
Literally 24 hours later. Less than.
Wasted our time.
Yes, we did.
If we would have waited one day, we could have done a whole different hour of radio because we wouldn't have said none of that stuff. Nah. But I do like being right.
Yes!
I do like being right.
Yes, you do.
And I said yesterday, that man never loved us. Mm. This was a 16-year effort to try to make UK jealous and show that I still got it.
Yeah, you do.
And he did still have it. But even then, this was to spite them, not because he loved anything about this place. And the way he talks now and the things that he says now, I feel like I've been vindicated for making that claim.
I mean, if you yesterday saying that wasn't Babe Ruth pointing out the home run. Like if it wasn't that, I mean, literally to be vindicated and justified in less than, I mean, record time, Mark. Like that was, like, normally it takes a little bit to play out, especially, I'm not going to say it was controversial, but it was an opinionated take. It's like, okay, Mark, I don't know if I agree with that, but we'll see. And to have it literally come true or be like, I mean, in less than 24 hours was awesome. At first I sent it to you. Then I had a tweet. I was like, Mark, your take aged like fine wine, like expedited. It's crazy.
The two main comments I think that stuck in most people's craw from him. The first, a lengthier one. He says, I got nothing but great things to say about the Kentucky fan base. I totally get it today why they were bitter at me for going to the University of Louisville. Obviously, I didn't get treated great when I was at Louisville, but sitting back on it and examining it today, I totally understand why. Then he also said that he cut a check to support NIL efforts at Kentucky for Kentucky football because of his great relationship with, what, Vince Mero and Mark Stoops? What the hell's that about? If nothing, like, let's just start big picture. Rachel tweeted something about this a little bit earlier. If you're St. John's, what the hell are you doing giving somebody else's collective money for?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is that?
Yeah. He said he was going to do it. He did say he was going to do it. My biggest gripe.
You look like you don't know where to go. Like, it's a bottleneck.
So many, many. My biggest gripe with Rick Pitino, what would happen with him here, you can feel, you're entitled to feel however you feel about it. But let's be clear. Everything that happened to Rick Pitino here was because of him. It happened under his watch. So meaning whether it was the strippers in the dorm, Brian Bowen, Andre McGee, whatever.
Karen Seifer.
That all happened under him. Now you can
by him
or by him. And as meticulous as he was as a coach, for that to happen three different times, that's your fault. At some point, you have to take responsibility about something. And so to act like all 16, 17 years he was here was just a wash. Like nothing good ever happened. Like no great players ever came through. Like the people of Louisville, even after you got exiled, still stood by your side. Like still rooted for you, whether it was in Greece, at Iona, cheering for St. John's. And then to come out and act like
You know, just essentially spit on Louisville fans to be like, oh, yeah, that place, I actually missed you guys the entire time. I was just there because they give me a job. I think there was another quote in there that said basically he wanted to be back in the state of Kentucky is why he took the Louisville job. Like, come on, bro. Like, Louisville fans deserve better than that. Like, they deserve better than that from you. I'm not saying the administration or the people or whoever, but the University of Louisville fans and the people that support the basketball program deserve more from you. That's just disgusting, if we're just going to be honest about it.
Well, I think in particular what irritates me about reading that, hearing those quotes, look, I know Rick is a classic narcissist. Yeah. And I'm sure the injury of having just been fired will never go away.
Yes.
I understand that. It doesn't mean it's okay, but I have, irrationally, it makes sense to me. What bothers me about that is the quote today. Fans stuck by him.
Yes.
No matter what, when he made everyone the butt of endless jokes.
Oh, yeah.
And he got unquestioned loyalty from virtually everyone except for what? Jerry Eaves?
Yeah. No, yeah. No, really.
I mean, yeah. Everyone. There was, like, no matter what the scandal was, no matter what humiliating thing happened, what embarrassing thing he himself did or someone else did while he was the coach here, fans were the ones who bore all of those jokes anywhere you were a Louisville fan. And no one ever wavered in support of him.
Yes.
And as far as I know, based on everything I ever hear him say, not any an ounce of awareness of what everyone else had to sort of wade through to stay a Louisville fan. Like, there was an ocean of good. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But there were also, at some point it reached the place where you could not enjoy anything without knowing you were going to get a joke about X.
Yes.
And there were several. It could have been like, there ended up being multiples of them. And there was never any awareness that he sort of put everybody through that. And there still isn't.
And that's the thing. That's what sucks, is because you felt like for years, seven at this point, since it's been most fans, not all, because I know some like to hell with Rick, you know, the day that all this stuff happened. But for at least the better part of 7 years and throughout the duration of his tenure as the head coach, you had fans sticking their neck on the line talking about how great this guy is as a basketball coach anyway and how you'll take him back and how the school did him wrong or whatever, just overlooking the fact that all of this stuff happened under him. He is the ultimate micromanager, and all this stuff either happened under him or he did it, like you said. The Karen Seifert thing, most people, like, I didn't even add that because most people just forget about it.
Yeah.
But that did happen under him. Like, your coach got caught literally with his pants down. And people just, like, shoot away. Me included have shooted away. And then the Brian Bowen thing happened under him. Once again, the ultimate micromanager. Rick Pitino can tell you what your body fat is, but can't tell you that a player that landed in his lap got $500,000 or whatever it was. Yep. And then the strippers in the dorm. Once again, Rick Pitino can tell you about everything about your life, but didn't know his assistant coach had strippers in the dorm. And once again, it cost. What did it cost us? It cost us everything.
Yeah.
It literally cost us everything. We've been chasing that, what we were before all of the sanctions and the missed tournament, the tournament bans and the banner and all this stuff. We've been chasing that for the better part of a decade now. And to have him come in like, oh, yeah, man, guys, at Kentucky, I just missed you guys so much. And here's some money for your football team. And you know, I see why you guys are so mad. And I apologize for pissing you off. But Mark Pope is going to bring it back to where it's supposed to. Like, no, dude, you don't just get to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just get to do that after all the hell you put us through. We stuck beside you. And now it's like, you guys were, like, you were into, you know, you were the means to an end. And the end was never with you.
Thank you, said it.
Yes.
You said it, and it makes me feel good because, like, that's the frame I've been kicking around in my mind. Kentucky was an end.
Yes.
Louisville was a means to an end.
Absolutely.
For Rick.
Yes.
And in particular, saying, like, the fans didn't treat me well. You know who really didn't treat you well while you were here, Rick? KSR! For God's sake, man, have some awareness. And I have to think on some level, like, his unawareness of how he sounds is an asset to him, but it sucks for the rest of us.
Oh, it does.
Like, he has a boldness and a freedom of the, you know, there's a the proverb, you know, like the fear of man is a snare, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and there's a healthy way of sort of not being afraid of what people think, but there's also just being like a sociopath and having no idea how regular people think and how you sound.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, like Louisville fans, you know, that they didn't treat me very well, but I think I understand it. You're saying it on a show that made their mission to humiliate you and therefore us
yes.
all the time.
Yes.
For what?
I mean, it's so crazy because, you know, I'm 28, so I don't remember the Denny years. Like, I just don't. Like, Denny was...
Humble brag.
Yeah, like, he left in 2000. I was 5 years old. Rick came in 01. Like, so...
That's Louisville basketball for you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
And most people 35 and under around my age, like, Rick Pitino is Louisville basketball. So, when he goes on, when it essentially sounds like he never really cared about you, your program, the fanhood,
yeah.
like, that stinks, man. Like that sucks. Like, it sucks because for almost the entirety of my life, that's all Louisville was Rick Pitino-led Louisville basketball. And to know that the players that played under him feel that way, like, feel the way that I feel, meaning about this program, this place, the city, like, they love it. Like, they're still here. They're playing in TBTs. They've got businesses here. They're talking to the team. They're part of the coaching staff now. Like, this is their thing. And to almost feel like, Rick Pitino was cosplaying as the Louisville head coach. Like, almost like cosplaying.
I'm halfway surprised he didn't call himself the Louisville Kentucky coach.
I mean, it's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, cosplaying as the Louisville coach because the entire time he really hated the fact that he left UK. It's just it's just mind-blowing to me. Yeah. Like, yo, he's really, like, this is what it feels like. It's almost feel like an alternate reality where Rick Pitino is basically apologizing to Big Blue Nation.
Yes.
And giving
he's chasing them.
A middle finger to Card Nation. It's crazy. It's just crazy.
8150-939. That's the number if you'd like to get in here. If we still have JB, let's start with JB. JB, welcome into the drive, buddy. What's up?
Yeah. Is it Mr. Letzi?
Lightsy, yes.
Yeah. Didn't you used to be on Saturdays? And then,
yeah.
Yeah, you come a long way, man. You really sound good.
I appreciate it.
I'm sure it would take me a long time, too, but I feel sorry for you. You didn't experience the Denny days, and you only knew a coach that was selfless, selfish, only about himself. I just wish, and I hope you do, too, that you had said this stuff yesterday. Because you should have been able to predict what he was going to do and go where he's heard and where he's beloved or where he's divided against somebody. And it's just like dividing the fan base and Danny's old players and this, that, and the other and the grief that we went through. And I never, never liked this guy. I like his coaching ability. I like the team, way his team's played. I never liked him, never. And a lot of people my age feel that way that are in their 50s. And I'm sorry that that's the only thing you ever knew. But Rick Pitino, I don't care how good of a coach he is a poor, and believe me, I've made plenty of mistakes myself, but he is not a giver. He's a taker. And there's a big difference in that. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, JB. Look, I imagine we are very close to just tapping right into a vein of fans.
Oh, yeah.
Just a couple of years older than me, where their primary influence and recollection of Louisville basketball is pre-Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And, look, does it make you reinterpret some of what he did? Because, like, to go all the way back to, like, the primary divide here – Denny is ushered out. Mm-hmm. Rick comes in. There's a feeling of like those guys just being discarded.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a lot of folks, it was, hey, Rick, you reflexively want to defend the guy. Hey, he just wants to do things his way. He should have a right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a feeling like you're rubbing these Kentucky dudes in our faces and all that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And
they're adamant on staff.
You kind of look like back that. And mm-hmm. you're like, you know, we didn't want anything to do with any of the former players and that sort of thing. Or very little to do with them, and they all felt kind of like, does it make you look back and be like, man, maybe something else was up here? That,
yeah.
like, he really did just like those other guys more.
Yeah. I mean, that's clear now. Like the one thing that time will tell is you the truth. Like, and the thing is, nobody is forcing Rick Pitino to say these things. He's voluntarily saying everything that he's saying. He's like,
he always is.
I mean, yeah, he's just like volunteer letting
it. Like the very the whole 15 seconds thing, which lives forever. It's one of a million jokes that we have to live with forever because of him. Like he testified to that.
Yes.
Like, you didn't have to do that.
No.
Was Rick the true UK plan all along?
I made the joke earlier today.
Yeah.
I made the joke. I was like, found the mole. Would it shock you?
At this point, no. How could it? How could it? I mean, the man said he donated to Stoops' NIL. He came out, and then the same day, UK gets a commit that's throwing L's down. I mean, maybe that was just a coincidence, and maybe that's just a picture they chose. But, I mean, it's like, oh, well, I see Rick's money well spent. It just got them a top 54 star or something. 154 star.
Does anyone remember him caring about football here at all?
I never.
Yeah.
In almost 20 years, did you ever see Rick Pitino at a football game?
I remember he was on TV for the blackout game.
Yes,
West Virginia
on game day. Wasn't he on game day?
Well,
for that?
It was a Thursday game, yeah. But he was in the press box. I think halftime or something like that. But that's it. Yeah, and of course,
and he did the Lamar game day. Right. I don't know if he's at the game, but he did the Lamar game day.
His last moment wearing that tight ass Lamar jersey on game day set.
That child's medium jersey. Let's get Steve in here next. Steve, welcome into Drive, buddy. What's up?
Hey, appreciate you guys.
Hey,
I haven't called for a long time, but of course, this is the kind of thing that makes somebody crawl out of the woodwork.
Yes.
Talking about our third most successful basketball coach and prominent UK football booster. But the thing with Rick, man, it's a living hypocrisy. You know, he's John Voight in that high school football movie. It's the do ever, he's way closer, and that's what this stuff proves, is he's way closer to a Bobby Knight than he was a Denny Crum. And I am, I'll be 50 this summer. So, but I never had that conflict. I just looked at it, I'm selling my soul. I don't like this guy, but he's the world's best basketball coach, and he'll bring wins. And that's what we did. We hoed ourselves out, and we got what we wanted. We got a championship. Of course, because Rick is Rick, and the world hates him, and everybody's out to get him. All of his mistakes are everybody else's problem.
Yeah,
we lose that championship, and he's just so, because he's so successful, he gets to have words like nuance and complicated and everything used about him. If he sold insurance or managed a grocery store, he'd be a giant a-hole. And that's the way people would treat him. But because he's valued, because we love sports, and because he's one of the best to ever do it, he gets to get away with all this stuff. And, I mean, I don't wish ill on Rick. Man, go win. You're St. John's coach, and you love UK football. Do whatever. And I just look at it as a fan. He's their problem again. You can have him.
Yeah.
You can own all of his statements. You can reconcile. You can let them reconcile with all the horrible, heinous things they said about him. And if he can accept it, and he wants to come back there and get the love and whatever, he knows deep down inside what he is. And we all know what he is now, and hopefully more people. I just love the clean slate. You know, I'm happy with Pat Kelsey. He doesn't represent any regimes. Like you all were saying yesterday, you were on point. Mm-hmm. You know, just throw all this, any energy we're wasting on Rick, let it be today for content and for the show and the rest of it. Man, put it all into Kelsey and these new guys. And out of respect to all of Rick's players that brought so much joy to us, you know, I try not to insult him too much, but I'd love to just blast the dude on here. But one thing, you'd beat me 100 times and wouldn't be able to do it, and it just wouldn't be good for those. But move on from Rick. He belongs to Kentucky now. They can have each other. You belong together. So appreciate the line, man. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Steve. Good to hear from you, buddy. Thank you. I would imagine that we're going to have several folks exercised to sort of get something off their chest here. A question posed. Will Arkansas find itself in the same place in 10 or 15 years? Are they going to be having the same conversations about Cal? Like, he didn't really ever care about being here. Or will they be smart enough to just see it right now?
Well, they're definitely going to see it, though.
You think so?
They have to understand what it is with Cal. Like, this is very transactional. This isn't, like, a love affair. It may be, like, but, like, when Cal spent 15 years at Kentucky. Like he's been 50, and it was kind of almost like a mutual parting of ways. Like, I mean, it was weird a little bit, but, like, he chose to go to Arkansas. Rick spent 17 years here, 16, 17, and won a championship.
He's coached here longer than anywhere else he's ever coached.
Exactly. So there's the difference there. Yeah. Like, there's a huge difference. Like I said, most people, a lot of people, the only real coach they ever known was Rick Pitino. I'm one of them. I can speak on that. Like, Denny spent a long time here, and that's why that's one coach most people, like, a older generation knows about, and it's like, oh, that's our forever coach. But for, like, the people born in the late 90s or up into the early 2000s, like, the only coach they really ever knew was Rick Pitino. Yeah. So, like, he was our Denny Crum or whatever. Whether you felt like that was sacrilegious to say or not, it was the truth. And so to have that version of your coach come out and say these things, that's why it stinks.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, like, you spent half the time at UK. And not nearly, I mean, you had great success there. Let's not get it twisted. Like, he had some really, really great teams. But you chose to leave that place to go to the NBA or whatever. And then the way things fell out here, once again, was all under your own doing. Now, I'm not saying they didn't do you wrong, but it wasn't ugly. But that stuff happened under your watch. We can't act like they didn't happen. Like, don't act like you were just so super innocent. No, something happened. They cost us a banner.
It's amazing to me that he's embittered by basically having been held to account.
Yes.
Here, but not embittered by a 17 years of them making the most of every little thing he ever did wrong. Like, it was KSR that did, like, an hour-long interview with Katina Powell.
Yes.
Right. Like, it was like they were the ones who publicized every little thing he ever did wrong.
Yes.
And tried to be downright humiliating. And he has, like, a kink for it. He's like, I want more.
I mean, that's
I want their approval.
No other program, I don't believe, Tom Jurich, University of Louisville, no other program would have stood next to Rick Pitino after Karen Cypher and Brian Bowen like we
and
did.
Put a pin in that.
Yes.
Because I want to come back to that because I want to get Plumber Chuck in here before we get to the top of the hour. Plumber Chuck, welcome in the job, Bob. What's up?
What's going on, Mark? Long
time, buddy.
No talk. Bad news first off. I did not heal right. And at the age I am, you know, I'm over 50. I'm going to have to change careers after 33 years. It's a heartbreak. So I just want to tell you that.
All the work at Chuck from here on out.
No, I've already got something lined up.
All right.
So we're good on that. Second thing is, you know, I feel sorry for the generation with your co-host there that wasn't with Denny. Denny's always my coach. Awesome guy. If you see him in a restaurant, he was at a Cracker Barrel. He talked to me for like 20 minutes. Always my coach. Rick Pitino, you know, you get what you get with Rick. If he feels that way about us, I really don't care. He's up in New York now. But I really hope Mark Pope and them run you out of town, really. And I'm not a UK fan. I just hope you get run out. And I'll be honest with you, I am a Louisville fan, but I like Mark Pope as a player. And when he was in the NBA, I do like Mark Pope. So, yes, I hope you run him out of the gym. Second of all, I am looking forward to a clean slate with Pat Kelsey, a.k.a. Working Fool. Guy just doesn't stop. I think we're going to see a change around here, a change for the good, and I'm super excited for that in football. And I hang up and listen, guys. Summer radio is picking up.
You know it. Good to hear from you, Paul Chuck. Good luck with the next act in your career there, buddy. I hope hope everything ultimately heals up okay. We're going to take a quick break and come right back. At 4:30, going to talk with Red Rage Dave from the Red Rage Tailgate, Dave McGee, about the launching of flag football, girls flag football, around
awesome.
Some high schools around town. We'll talk with him. And Harry Douglas.
Yes.
Harry Douglas and Frank Minifield both going to join us at 5 o'clock for some cool stuff going on with them. And Harry's been on one today
Oh, yeah.
In Lexington.
Oh, man.
and representing. So we're excited to have him on here as well. So a full one here for the rest of this show here on The Drive on Nathaniel. Be right back.